Okay. My ileostomy will be reversed. I will be properly plumbed, if you will. And hopefully this will be the end of this long period. And through this period, I've often in chapel preached to you on themes related to my own experience and suffering. I'm tired of doing that. I want to talk to you about a text you know so well, but maybe haven't thought about it in quite the way I want to represent it to you. Turn with me in the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter, and beginning in the 16th verse, the text that we call the Great Commission. The Word of God. And then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." In this passage, we have a number of interesting details I want you to notice first. First of all, notice in verse 17, all of our translations, and I have, I think, the New King James here. Yes. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And if you know Greek, you might well expect that the text at that point would read something like, "Allah, but," and then, "tis," some. Or since it would be multiple ones, it would be the plural. But it's simply, they doubted. And while the translators on the whole have said, "some doubted," the text can be read just as reasonably and more plausibly in context, not that some doubted, but they worshipped and they doubted. And if you grasp that, then you understand the next words of Jesus. They have seen the risen Jesus. They know him alive from the dead. He's appeared to them multiple times, because this is in Matthew's gospel, this event is somewhere down along the time scale. It's not the same day as the resurrection. But they doubted. He's explained to them what they're supposed to do. They know what they're called to do. But their faith is like my faith as I've gone through my cancer struggles. It's little. It's frail. It easily falters. They doubted. And so Jesus, in his resurrection glory, speaks to them a word to build them up in their faith. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And they see the dead Jesus that they put in the tomb, alive before their eyes. "I have all authority." He could not say those words were he not risen from the dead. And because he's risen from the dead, those words cannot be false. All authority. Now, bear in mind that Jesus said this within the short span between his resurrection and his ascension, as we find it narrated in Luke and in Acts. And Matthew's gospel itself is the earliest and first of the gospels. Eusebius, in his Chronicum, places it in, using our time scale, in about 41 AD. I say that because of what he then says next. "Go make disciples of all nations," not a new thought, just an expansion of the commission to go to the house of Israel in chapter 10. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And in Greek, as in English, the word name is singular. And that one name, the divine name, the Yahweh of the Old Testament name, is possessed of the Father, who is called Yahweh in the Old Testament, and possessed of the Spirit, who is called the Spirit of Yahweh in the Old Testament, and possessed of the Son. So here, in the resurrection setting, Jesus identifies himself as nothing less than God incarnate, possessing the same name that the Father possesses and the same name that the Spirit possesses. And now, perhaps for the first time, the disciples get it. They understand now with depths who this Jesus of Nazareth is, that he is Yahweh in human flesh, crucified for the remission of their sins, and raised bodily from the dead, and now possessing in his humanity, always in his divinity, but now in his humanity, possessing all authority. And not just in heaven, which you would expect, but on earth. The disciples now know that they do not need to listen to the Sanhedrin. It is no longer an authority for them. Jesus is. And they will come to discover in their own ministry that they must not listen to Caesar when he forbids them to speak in the name of Christ and to give homage to his own image. But they must only listen to Jesus, because he is Yahweh in the flesh, crucified and risen from the dead. And then he says a phrase in verse 20, as we just saw in exegesis class, is a phrase that runs through the whole Old Testament, where God says to his people time and again, I am with you to save you, to deliver you, to strengthen you. And now Jesus says to the 11, I am with you. That statement itself, apart from the earlier verse, is an undeniable claim of divinity. Can I say to you, I am with you always? Can you say it to me? Could your parents say it to you? Can you say it to your children? No. We are not only mortal and pass away, and even if we imagine that we can be with them in some spirit sense after the death of our bodies, I'm a little, limited, frail creature. I'm like the disciples. You can say of me, oh, you of little faith. I've learned that in 3.5 years. But Jesus says, I am with you always. All 11 of you, and by implication, all of those who hear and believe through them. Wherever you are, I am with you. Only God can say, I am with you. A couple implications of this for today. First of all, here in Matthew's gospel, in the days after the resurrection, Jesus discloses himself to be Yahweh incarnate, and the disciples understand it. And Matthew's gospel, we can with great confidence date for a variety of reasons, not just because what Eusebius tells us, but because of its own internal evidence, that Matthew's gospel dates from about 41 AD, right before the conversion of Cornelius. Do you get that? There was a document telling the story of Jesus in which Jesus himself declares his own divinity within 10 years of his resurrection. So the next time you hear someone say, well, the idea of the divinity of Jesus took centuries to develop and never came to full expression until the Council of Nicaea, you have to say, oh, go read Matthew's gospel. Can you read the book? I mean, even in English, it's obvious. When we affirm that Jesus is God, the eternal Son, incarnate, crucified and risen for us, that is not some church doctrine. that the church slowly came to as it wrestled through various issues that we can trace, with our new professor of church history telling us all about those developments. Oh, those were important developments. The truth was defended. It was expressed in new ways. But the truth was there in the words of the risen Jesus. A second implication. The next time someone says to you, I don't want you to talk about Jesus. I don't mean they're asking you not to be in their face. They just say, you shouldn't be talking. You shouldn't talk about religion in political contexts, you know, because after all, we know that we should give the things that are Caesar's to Caesar and the things that are God's to God's, which, of course, no one thinks about, because it means if you give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, you give him his money because it's got his imprint on it. And you give to Caesar everything you are, you give to God everything you are and will produce because you are made with the imprint of God. So actually, that text destroys the notion that religion has no place in politics. But more importantly, someone says to you, don't speak in the words of Jesus. Well, I don't want you to say that. Or, well, you know, if you were really a moral person, you would recognize that we have come to a better understanding of humanity. And now we know that sodomy, we call that homosexuality, that sodomy is really an alternative lifestyle, and it's equally good. No, it's not. Why? Because Jesus says it's not. You see, I can listen to you, the secular whoever you are, or the supposed religious teacher whoever you are, and you're going to die, and you're never going to be with me again. Or I can listen to the incarnate Son of God, who is always with me, and do what he says. Because you see, I listen to Jesus. You don't count. Can you say that? Can you look out on the unbelieving world with all the demands it says to you that you must conform to the social consensus or the media consensus or the educational consensus of the day and say, no, I don't care. You're just going to die. And that's it. I listen to Jesus. And if I listen to Jesus and I know he is always with me, then I know that if God gives me a healthy life or brings me through sickness, if I live long or he chooses that I should end my life soon, and I face that 4 times, I have a reason for being. This incarnate Son of God, who possesses all authority, tells me to go and make disciples of all nations. And how may I do that? Well, I may be a preacher, maybe a personal evangelist, may talk to my family, maybe an invalid, and all I can do is pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. But I can be part of it. I have a reason for my life, and I have authority to live it. And now, to close my thoughts, I understand the first and most important implication of what we call the mediatorial kingship of Jesus. Now, there are many implications, and there's all sorts of interesting and fascinating historical studies to be done with how that was worked out in the Scottish history and the history of the Covenanter Church itself. I won't talk about that. It's not out of my expertise anyway. But this one thing, no one can tell you with authority that binds the conscience, don't talk about Jesus. No one can forbid the preaching of the gospel. Why? Because Jesus has all authority. And he says, go make disciples of all nations. Any nation, any government, any person that seeks to forbid the preaching, the teaching, the talking about, the sharing, person to person, of the good news of Jesus, what he has taught, and that salvation is in him, any person, any government, is simply lawless at that point and loses all authority, even though in other matters they may have legitimate authority. If the government tells you to obey the speed laws, obey the speed laws. If it sets the tax rate, pay your taxes. If it says you need to report these things, report those things. But if it says, keep your mouth quiet about Jesus, you say you have no authority to do that. I must speak for Jesus. He has all authority. You have just been demoted. The mediator kingship of Christ, first of all, means that no one has authority to forbid the one thing he commands. Go, make disciples, baptizing and teaching. And do not fear when they forbid it, though you may suffer. For Jesus, the incarnate, crucified, risen Son of God, says, I am with you always. Live your life. Go through your sufferings and hard times. Remember in the happy times when you're doing all sorts of fun things that Jesus is always with you. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord Jesus Christ, incarnate, risen Son of the Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are always with us, that you strengthen us, keep us, and enable us to be your servants. Oh, Jesus, by your Spirit, empower us that in whatever place you have called it to, however big or small as men estimate it, we may be about your great work. For we ask this because of your great love and sacrifice for us. Amen.